Friends, welcome back to The Schwitz. I'm Ben at Boy With No Job, and as always, I'm here with Vic at VWeb and Jack, not John. Boys, happy Halloween. October 20th, is it the 27th? 26th?
Today's the 27th.
The 27th.
Halloween came early this year.
I was going to say, we decided last week that you can't have Halloween
that it was,
in November.
That it would be last night.
Last night.
So, yeah, we took advantage.
Yeah, so we went to the Knick game.
Yeah.
You dressed up as
a priest.
An unholy priest.
A priest.
And by we, you mean you guys, not me.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I was looking at you.
Okay. The one who likes the Knicks and knows basketball.
Right.
Yeah. That's
all right. I don't know what
baseball games, you'll be. That's your thing. You're the baseball guy.
That's not my thing.
It is.
It's sort of your thing.
Yeah.
No? The Jets are your thing?
You're a big Expos guy.
I did have tickets.
Wouldn't know if the Jets are my thing.
Yeah.
Well, he's got.
That's a nice hat. Who gave it to you?
He is
a nice Jets hat. I'm sad to be wearing it because the Jets.
What's that on the side?
It says since 1960. That's
by the way, fun fact. Do you know when the Knicks, I guess, were founded?
Is it the same year?
1947.
47.
Fucking knew
it. There's this whole Chase Trivia Knicks thing. It was very. It got me rattled. But I was a priest, and I snuck in a nice little flask.
Yeah, by the way,
in my Bible,
unbelievable. That you can just sneak in a flask.
But when you're holy, you're allowed. The guy gave it a shake. I'm like, whoa. And he's like, all right, your book is good. I'm like,
I even said it to you. I'm like, I bet you they will not even think
twice. I knew they would.
It was pretty cool.
That should be a secret guide to...
Yeah, like what? Like what are the life hacks?
Just be incredibly religious.
No,
and you can drink any
sports game hacks. It's like that old video with the guy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
no one's ever gonna. And the bottle he brings in is actually a White Russian.
Yeah, it's great.
No one's ever gonna check that. It's like, oh, it's for my kid.
Become a God fearing man. Preach the word of the Lord and.
Yeah, why do I feel like that's going to come back to bite you in the karma ass?
It could.
No.
It really could.
By the way, it can't because
and it's also
we're Jewish.
Right. And he's avoiding
I wear a Jewish star.
You're avoiding the highway robbery prices of sports.
Oh, this is what you're talking about. By the way.
Anybody would have done it.
There's a couple swigs of tequila. Give me a break. I paid full price for another tequila.
I was confused. I thought you were talking about that. Him dressing as a priest is going to come back to bite him in
Carnival. No. I meant the sneaking in, but the truth is it's like the movies. Like, you're not going to be paying $7 for that box of Bunch of Crunch. You go to CVS and buy it for $1.99.
The movies are so much harder to sneak something in. Yeah. Remember, Jack and I used to go to this movie theater always Upper East Side. You try to walk in with
the Orpheum.
With anything.
But we didn't
And that old man. No.
Remember? Oh, that guy.
Marvin.
Yeah.
Is that Marvin. Was it Marvin or Merv?
It was Marvin.
You couldn't get a bottle of water past that guy.
He was one of the most hated men in New York. They did like a top 10 most hated New Yorkers. He was like 3.
Canned. He was canned, right?
Or
is he dead?
Died, you mean?
He's
dead? Like 98.
Wow. Rest in peace, Marvin.
2020 vision.
Vic, what did you dress up as?
One night.
Cliff Booth.
Last night I was Cliff Booth, stunt double, Rick Dalton, played by Brad Pitt. Had everything down. I wore the actual t-shirt he was wearing
in
the movie. Amazon.
Can I say you needed a Rick Dalton to elevate the
costume. I know, but the people who saw the movie got it.
I know, but you're still a backup.
And it's funny because
you're
Friday
the stunt
night,
double for a guy who wasn't there.
Friday night when I wasn't wearing that costume because, you know, it's a crime to wear the same costume two nights in a row.
You sucked Friday night,
God,
by the way. I know, I didn't dress up, but you're
wore a freaking onesie. It was a cop-out. It was a cop-out.
I thought you were Scooby-Doo.
Someone was dressed as Sharon Tate. And, got it, and they were like, you're kidding me. I'm like, you have to be kidding me, because the shirt I ordered on Amazon isn't coming until tomorrow, so I couldn't have done the outfit. I got the same boots he was wearing.
Well,
needless to say, I pulled it off. Everything but the abs. I had it
all. Talk about committed.
And the flow.
You're going to make a wonderful husband.
I was just about to say, if you were really committed, you would have been working on this for the last 6 months, and you would have had the abs.
Yeah.
Talk about
that. Well, he didn't see the movie. It was a late July release. Victor likes to see it on the tail end after everyone sees it. So he didn't see it until early October.
Except for the fact that I saw it the first night it came out, and then I saw it again at the Roxy Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
With me.
Yes, it did.
All right, sports.
Yeah,
we can jump in. I'll
we
just
can
quickly,
talk entertainment
I'll just
all
quickly
day
note
long.
That I was Sue Sylvester from Glee because nobody asked me, but yeah, that was my outfit. Shout out to all the Glee fans.
I was waiting.
No,
I thought you were like...
No,
I thought you were fiending for sports.
No, I was just waiting. Just like asked me, like, oh, yeah, Ben, what were you?
But... You know what you should have dressed up as?
Everybody said I was Royal Tenenbaums, but like...
Exactly, yeah.
No, but it was
Royal Tenenbaums are like a fat Israeli... Not that you're fat, but like because that what you were wearing...
I am fat, but why Israelis
you're big boned.
Israelis wear tracksuits all the time?
Yeah, Adidas, red tracksuits. Yeah, all the time.
No, so does Sue Sylvester. Look her up.
I don't care. You did this last night.
Yeah.
Blonde, it's Jane...
Lynch. Jane. I love when you do that. When you know her name is Jane Lynch, but you say, Jane, what's it? What? Lynch. You knew it was Lynch.
I'm trying to get you involved.
Alrighty, headlines. Beginning with baseball, we thought that this World Series is over.
Shrek.
In the swamp.
Like onions.
They've got layers. There's like layers onions. To the World Series. I just went Scottish there. A wee bit, Lassie.
We thought that this World Series was over. The Nationals went into Houston, took two games quick. By the way, it is so fucking hot in here.
Yeah, I'm schwitzing.
I just felt it right before you said it.
I just saw a drop from Vic's armpit. Just drop from the pit.
I think I'm actually down doing into pretty
like,
well.
Down into like the midriff of his shirt.
It is so warm. But so they took two in Houston. They were smoking hot. All of a sudden, everything comes back to D.C. And now we got a 2-2 game. We got a 2-2 series.
Yep.
Coin flip on the World Series. Not really, though, because Garrett Cole's coming to the mound.
There's no Scherzer.
Max Scherzer, late scratch for, who'd you say, Vic?
John Ross.
Joe Ross.
Joe Ross.
It was apparently his neck. I guess, I mean, you got to be careful with the neck. Scherzer, I'm as disappointed as I could possibly be. I still have faith in everybody on this team.
You don't sound that disappointed. Yeah,
I sound depressed. Look, the two games, and I don't know, I guess we could just jump into the fact that we thought we had this figured out, and it was like going back. We're sitting here making predictions last
week. Back to square one.
We're talking about it. The Astros were a minus 220 of the series price. I mean, how did they even get the two games? I don't even know what like the morale is like at this point in the clubhouse. After you win those
My Nationals
two.
Call looked really good.
Yeah,
I called
by the way,
Nationals.
I was going to hit you up, but I didn't want to get you excited.
No, and now all of a sudden, it doesn't look good anymore.
I will say, even in the Yankee series, this Astros team doesn't mind going down at home, and then taking it on the road.
No, not at all.
I mean, I don't know is home field advantage in baseball like?
It's huge.
Oh, it's huge.
It's huge. But this Astros team can win anywhere.
I'm now thinking, even though they won 8-1 in game four, that's really like the tipping point for me. They're now they have the bats. They've always had the pitching, but now the bats starting to come around. They're scoring runs. But the only thing would be, are they now going to, could they win at home? I mean, this seems like, they're the home field advantage has been almost detrimental in this World Series. But I think the Astros close it out in, let's say, I think six. I think right now the Nats are pretty beaten up.
I agree with you. I think this series is over. I think that you got to Cole one time. He was 19-0 since May. You did the impossible. You beat Garrett Cole. You go up 2-0 going home. You lose two straight at home. You're not going to beat Cole again. He's like, it's the equivalent of Kershaw in the regular season. It's
nice.
one of those torrid runs. And like, you're not going to get to that guy twice. If you do, hats off. I'm wrong, but I think that Houston wins this in six. I think that those were such crucial games and beatdowns. Like, the Nationals' bats were on fire, and now they seem to be silenced.
I think it would almost be – I think it would be more likely for Houston to win in seven. I just think coming – like, I think the Nats get it right. Not tonight. I think if anything, they get game six, because I guess they wouldn't have Scherzer just pitch in 2 days, I don't believe, and then move Strasburg. That'd actually be very interesting. If they somehow win tonight or they don't win tonight, like, would it change as to where you put Scherzer? Like, I don't know what this kind of injury is, but is it just that he just gets another 2 days off, you bump Strasburg back, then you'd have,
I can't imagine
Strasburg for six.
I can't
seven.
Imagine, maybe I'm wrong, I'm not a pitcher, but I can't imagine he, like, can't pitch at all this game, and then when's game six?
Scherzer? He said he was unable to dress himself this morning.
So then
he's done.
So yeah, this is done.
They have the day off for travel.
He's
and
done.
Then you have
I think
Tuesday.
He's done. This is I'm done. I can't get dressed unless you don't mind me getting out there playing naked.
I was saying, can't get dressed. That's a weird quote.
All right, Max, you're gonna go play your jacket.
Here's actually the tip. The doctors are hopeful that his symptoms will subside in time for game seven. So I guess that would be the plan.
He's done.
Yeah, in time for game seven.
Too bad they're only six.
Good luck. Moving on to the NBA, first week in the books. I mean, what an amazing week this was. It seems like basketball, not that it was ever, it's weird. Everybody's like, it's rejuvenated. I guess that it's just, the playing field really is just so different. It's not even. Everybody's like, the playing field is even. No, just the powers have shifted.
You mean like
so
this season?
Much. Yeah, everybody's saying like, oh, like there are no more
parody.
Super teams.
They love it. Just, parody. A lot more parody.
Yes. But really, there are still super teams.
Definitely. But now it's super duos.
It's spread out.
It's amazing.
I think it's more super duos.
Who was most impressive to you this week? And we'll talk about the Clippers. Just take the Clippers out of the equation.
They also lost.
They were the Clippers lost.
Today? My most surprising team.
Yeah,
in the West is the Phoenix Suns. They went. They're now 2-1. Devin Booker is playing like a real vet. He was jawing with Pat Bev all night last night, and he took not only the Clippers to overtime, but they won. And that's now without DeAndre Ayton, who I've heard is a little older than he might lead on, but I think it was like a form of steroids or something banned by the league, so he's out for 25.
It was like dilution of like something with water to make you
recover faster
and be leaner.
Yeah, so he was taking a banned substance, and this Phoenix team next night now starting. Who do they say? I mean, Dario Saric, he's the four. I mean, they're still thin. Rashawn? No.
Baines.
Oh, Aaron Baines, which was a really nice pickup. But it's got to be the Phoenix Suns. Devin Booker, that's a super young team. They just got Rubio, who's now the floor general. I like Booker off the ball more. And that's they've been super impressive. And this is through three games. It's a little tough for me to pick a team that's only played two. But so to me, you beat the best team in the NBA. I think the Phoenix Suns have been super impressive.
For me, it has to be the Atlanta Hawks. I think that what Trae Young is doing, they're 2-0. Again, this is small sample size, but the guy's averaging 39.7 rebounds and 9 assists. This is, I guess, his coming out party because those are some serious numbers.
Most points through two games. Two games in Atlanta Hawks history.
Really?
And they've had some great players.
They have.
Neek and Spud Webb wasn't great.
He looks amazing. We thought that team last year was good too. You guys, they like just John can't Collins, play
defense.
No, but I feel like defense is always a mentality. It's not easy to teach defense. You have to want to play defense.
Well, you have Alex Len at your starting center. Yeah. You can't play defense.
No.
They can't play defense. And Trae Young just gets bullied on D.
Yeah. Ugh.
But slick.
I mean, I like the Mavs. Yeah. Again, this is all early, but
but fuck Porzingis.
I mean, I'm not gonna say like
fuck
you and your fucking Lakers.
Wait, by the way,
Lakers.
So why would I have taken you to the Knicks fan if you won't say fuck
Porzingis?
You're gonna act like you're a Knicks fan when you don't
piece of shit.
When you don't hate Porzingis,
I don't. There's no reason.
You fuck to you. Hate him.
What are you upset? Like
you?
It wasn't his. Like
it
obviously,
wasn't his what? He has to leave.
Go on with the Mavs.
Look, they look great. It was just the acquisition. You know, obviously it was big for Knicks fans, but it obviously got, you know, under the pile of the Westbrook, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Anthony Davis, all the other amazing deals that happened this summer. It wasn't the biggest one, but for them it was huge. And talking about a young core going forward, and him and Doncic, you can already see they're already on the same page. Like it's gonna be a lot of fun to watch. I'm not saying I'm rooting for the Mavs, but I do like Luka Doncic, and I believe you guys
love Luka
Doncic. By the way, you can say that you're rooting for the Mavs. That's fine.
I know. I want to see where the core goes.
Luka. Yeah. I'm a big fan of Luka. It's not Luka's fault that Porzingis is
Luka Trae Young.
Luka's
wow,
unbelievable.
Wow, I can't even blame the Hawks for doing that deal. You got an extra first rounder out of it.
Where did they go?
5-3.
Where did the Knicks have?
Wait a minute.
What pick?
No, they weren't in the equation.
No, not that. Not that.
Don't worry. They didn't screw some.
This is Porzingis. Yeah,
No. I was talking about that draft class. You were saying that Luka.
That was
Trae Young,
Knox. Knox.
That was Knox.
Seven.
That was Knox.
Seven or eight. Seven.
That was Knox.
Seven.
Which is seven. Which is a pretty good segue into again very early, but most disappointing team, and I'm going to start with the New York Knicks.
Are they disappointing? They're just bad.
I'll tell you why I think that they're disappointing. I expected Coach Fizdale to recruit talent. He didn't do that. He was never known as a great coach. He was always known as a connected coach. He would bring free agents.
A player's coach.
A player's coach. He didn't do that. We didn't get anyone. We got Julius Randle. Looks good, but is probably going to have like a classic David Lee inflated stats, Knicks season, one of those. Dennis Smith Jr. is on my radar as the worst player in the NBA getting minutes right now. The guy is averaging something like a plus minus of negative 17 through the first three games.
Great average.
We don't have to lead the charge, but I think that we should empower everyone to start talking about how we need to free Frank Ntilikina.
Because at this point,
he was our fourth overall pick. He's known as the best.
He wasn't the fourth pick.
He was eighth.
Yeah. I always do that, by the way. Eighth overall pick.
We did this last night.
Doesn't matter. He's the best perimeter defender on the Knicks. There's no question. Everybody says that. Looked great in FIBA.
Right.
Did he not look great in FIBA?
He did.
Why can't you play him?
He's not going to go out there and give you 20 points, but I think he could handle the ball.
Could he handle Kemba Walker a little?
Alonzo Trier can handle the ball. Dennis Smith Jr., as we said last night, as I was yelling at him, all he wants is this new contract. So, I mean, yeah, it's his fault, but all he's trying to do is get himself a bucket. And he's not a good offensive player.
No.
He can't be a distributor on a decent team. He forces everything, and he's too small. He can't play defense. I mean, he stinks, and he's taking time away from Frank.
And they're just they're disappointing to me because I am a delusional Knicks fan that goes into every year expecting things to be different. But unfortunately, this is culture. And, Jack, we were at the game. We knew when they were up 5 at the half, they were going to blow it. Yeah. This is just what the Knicks do.
Really
they can
shitty.
Be up by any amount at any point in the game, and they're going to lose. The night before in Brooklyn, up 3, a minute left. Such a comeback. You just knew Kyrie was hitting that 3. The Knicks are just losers. It's disappointing because I know, like, good luck winning 30 games, and that's,
well,
that's
we're
all
not,
I can
we're
say.
Not winning 30 games.
Who do you find the most disappointing through the first couple of games?
This team has played 3. The Sacramento Kings.
You literally read my mind.
Yeah, didn't lose any key pieces. In fact, I think they made some nice offseason acquisitions in Trevor Ariza, Dwayne Dedman, and Corey Joseph. I did mention that a couple months ago, and we laughed how I brought up Corey Joseph. But, I mean, they lost in Phoenix on their opening on their season opener. Then they lost at home to the Blazers, who to me are not as good as they were last year. And then they lost in Utah, which is understandable because that Utah team is great. But the Sacramento Kings are getting – they got blown out by 30 to the Phoenix Suns. They haven't been really close in any of these games. And
their max guy is Buddy Hield. That's the problem.
But
it's like,
but that's how it works when you're most recent – when you've been tanking. You got to pay these young players.
No, I know.
Yes, Bagley got hurt, but you have De'Aaron Fox. You got Buddy Hield. You got Bogdanovich coming off the bench, who to me is one of the best bench players in the NBA. Yeah, Bagley's down, but you still got Harry Giles, Dwayne Dedman, Trevor Ariza. I mean, I could go on about the Sacramento Kings.
You're just funny. You're like, they should have been really great. They got Harry Giles.
But this team last year was fighting for that last spot with the Spurs, and they were that sexy team on the come up, and now they're starting 0-3.
Bagley. Bagley was
he
huge
missed one
then.
Game. No, he actually started terribly last year.
And now he's out.
But he's out for 4 to 6 weeks.
What game did he start? The Suns game?
I think he only didn't play against the Jazz yesterday.
Okay.
They were going to lose regardless because I really like this Jazz team, especially at home. They have them and the Nuggets have the best home court advantage. But to me, it's the Kings. And just to tell you, Bogdanovich was the leading scorer against the Jazz with 26. And this guy has not been paid. So a name to watch going into free agency in the next couple of years and around the trade deadline is Bojan Bogdanovich, who might be the odd man out in Sacramento.
Yeah, my team is, and we knew this was coming, but the Golden State Warriors,
I didn't, by the way. I didn't see this.
It's sad.
Look, you knew it was going to be tough. Obviously, no KD, like, okay, but like they still have the same group as, you know, all the other teams that have gone to the finals, so you're not as worried. Now, no Klay Thompson either. But they're just lost. I don't think D'Angelo Russell's as comfortable as he maybe should be at this point. I know it's the beginning of the season, but what were you doing?
That's why I didn't pick them, by the way.
Right.
And he got ejected
against the Thunder. They lost by the Thunder today by 30.
Oh, D'Lo did?
They lost by 30 today. And they gave up 140 of the Clippers at home. Like, I understand the Clippers are far and away, you know, the best team right now. You know, it's hard to say they're not, even though they did just lose. But just knowing what they bring to the table, and with Kawhi Leonard, a Finals MVP, I didn't expect them to win, but I didn't expect to give up 140. That's you're not gonna be able to beat anybody. And now you give up 120 to Thunder. You only put up 92.
Reconstructed Thunder. Like, this wasn't supposed to be.
Look, also, reconstructed
Warriors.
They're
just lost.
And they're the third youngest team in the league. Like, I mean, look at the roster. It's a bunch of not even
I literally was about
to
say,
like,
look at the bench.
Guys.
Like, Spellman, Pascal, who just got drafted.
I like him. I like Zach
Bowman. I don't know who Bowman is. Evans.
Boston College.
Jordan Poole. I know Jordan Poole. Like, went 1-for-9 today. Like, wait.
This team isn't full, though.
No, I agree.
Where's Willie Cauley-Stein?
That's why.
Is he injured?
He's injured.
Okay, but so this is, to me, if you're starting. Were they starting Glenn Robinson?
Yeah,
like, that's
but
not he,
by the way, he's staying as the starter.
But I'm saying he's just like not
he
an NBA
stinks.
Player. He's not an NBA player. There are always those guys that just like
They might start Pascal, but still, but you're going to say, who's Pascal? Like,
no, I'm saying you can get away with that when you have Kevin Durant. Yep. You can get away with not having a center. You can't not have Kevin Durant and start Robinson.
Yeah.
It's just the Warriors are – you can't – like everybody's like, oh
– and start Marquise Chris at center.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's just not
– it's sad.
It's a very poorly constructed team today.
Yeah.
I don't think we need to panic yet.
That's yep, exactly.
But to Vic, to your point, the early disappointment for sure, but they're very incomplete.
And I'm definitely not panicking, and I don't feel bad. You've had more championships.
Yeah, I agree. You can't feel bad anymore.
5 years than most teams have had in a whole franchise.
So I want to get into some way too early predictions here. Love again, that. three games in. Should we start? Let's start with MVP.
It's Kawhi Leonard for me.
Okay,
jump. You know, he looked unbelievable. I mean, that game, I'm talking about the first, the Thursday night game against the Lakers, just the shots, you know, he was looking, I mean, literally like Kobe Bryant out there, just coming down, two dribbles, fade away over one guy, two guys. It didn't matter. But then you add in his passing game and his court vision, to go along with the defense. He's the claw. Claw is the claw. Claw is the law.
Claw is the law.
And I mean, I think he's leading this team to the finals, going all the way. And I think you're looking at a third champion with three different teams and a third finals MVP. I'm going to go that far.
That's so wild.
And I just think this year he's finally going to get the regular season MVP. It's not just going to be the playoffs. I really think he's going to be the guy, and especially because of the whole Paul George issue. We don't know how many games Paul George is going to be out for. And in the games that he's been out so far, Kawhi Leonard has taken over, to put it lightly.
I want Kawhi Leonard to win MVP, but the question is not who do I want to win MVP, it's who do I think will win MVP. And I think that LeBron James will win MVP. The reason being, the Lakers are going to end probably top two, I'd assume, in the West. It's between them and maybe the Rockets could jump in there, but whatever. High seed. Yeah. LeBron always puts up numbers. Last year in a down year, it was like 28-8-8. The guy right now is at 25-9-9. He's going to put up like jaw-dropping numbers, and when you put up jaw-dropping numbers and your team wins 60 games, which they probably will, and there's the whole story. It's not a comeback, of course, but it's just like he had a weird year, injury-riddled. I feel like LeBron's going to MVP, regardless. Like, I don't want him to. He's won enough, but not enough championships, but he's won enough personal accolades. But I do think LeBron's going to win MVP.
I don't think the Lakers will be as good as you think. I don't think they're winning 60 games. And just to play devil's advocate, because I think Kawhi Leonard, but I would say it's LeBron's teammate, Anthony Davis. I think he's in a new situation. He's in LA. And LeBron has made a concerted effort to feed the big man. And I think the Lakers will be better than what I think if Anthony Davis is the leading scorer, is the leading rebounder. At the moment, he's gelling. He's starting to get used to life as a Laker. And I think in order for them, every year, MVP doesn't go to a 7 seed. MVP doesn't go to Dame Lillard with the 7-seeded Blazers or Donovan Mitchell with the 5-seeded Jazz. So I think step one is the Lakers got to be a top 4 seed at least. And I think in order to do that, it's going to be Anthony Davis. Yeah, LeBron will be feeding him. LeBron's going to have about 9.5 assists this year.
That's what I'm saying. It's hard to average 25-9-9 and not win MVP.
But I think if he does, they're not going to win as many games as they could. And even
Harden had a couple seasons where he was hovering a triple.
I still think Harden could win it because I think the Rockets are winning the regular season West. But for this conversation, Anthony Davis, what he's doing now, he's clearly uncomfortable. He's shooting under 40%. That's not going to happen. And he's an absolute beast on the boards and on defense. So I think he's going to end up averaging mid to low 20s and like 15 boards, a bunch of blocks. He's a really good passer and lead this team to a top 4 seed.
Honorable mention, just because I don't know when else he'll come up, Russell Westbrook, what is he now? It's third all-time in triple-doubles. Ever,
yeah,
behind Oscar Robertson, just passed as of today, just passed Magic Johnson, and I'm not saying he's going to MVP, but if they are the 1 seed and he averages a triple double, you never know. Russell Westbrook, I fucking love that guy. He's just.
I think you're in the minority.
I am. I think he's just so underappreciated.
You and my dad.
No, I like him.
He's very underappreciated.
Fuck, maybe I'm in the minority.
No, it's just like you average a triple double, and for whatever reason, definitely, people are but like, fuck you.
Because efficiency. And
he was on shitty teams. No?
No. No.
Last year he wasn't on a shitty team.
1 year he was on a shitty team, and they didn't do anything. And he had Paul George, and he had Steven Adams. Look at the Thunder now. They cleaned house, and they just beat the Warriors by 40. Whatever.
One game.
Just saying.
Coach of the year. Who do we think wins coach of the year? Jack, to you.
I think it's Doc Rivers. What he did last year was super impressive, but he's got a lot more talent on that roster now, and usually it's to either the first or second best in each of the conferences, and I think that'll be the Clippers. And I also think the Clippers are just naturally – they have this gravitational pull to them this year, and I think that'll do it for Doc.
I'm going with Brett Brown. I have the 76ers winning the East. I think they're really, really, really good across the board. Ben Simmons
super long
kind of figured out how to shoot, and that was the one thing that was a huge hole and a problem with him. Horford and Embiid seem to be like they're in a pretty good place.
When Embiid plays.
And if they finish first in the East, I think everybody's going to be going for Brett Brown, who's really, I mean, talk about paying your dues. He's paid his dues, so I think
they talk about paying you dues.
I think he wins Coach of the Year. Thank you.
I'm going to go with a guy that's been in the conversation the last couple years, but the team hasn't quite gotten that point. I think they get there this year, and I think that's the Utah Jazz. Quinn Snyder, guy that just implores wisdom on his players. Really. What?
No, I was just going to say, doesn't he look like he belongs in...
Brooklyn.
No, Endgame, Avengers. He looks like a weird... Not like a superhero.
He's a cool-looking guy.
He is. What's the character... Like the mystical one? Doctor Strange. Doesn't he remind you of like one of those guys, the long hair?
Yeah, isn't that you and... Oh, Doctor Sleep, you and McGregor. Yeah. That's coming out. So yeah, fuck Doctor... Fuck this guy.
I lost you guys.
I don't even know
what... No, it's Benedict Cumberbatch, I think. Cumberbatch. Yeah.
Whatever. Sorry, continue.
Be that as it may. I just think that's going to happen because Utah will be in the top four this year. I don't know if that's a hot take or just a sort of prediction.
I think it's a take.
I think they can be a four. I think they can be as high as a three. I just think he deserves a recognition. I understand you added a couple of pieces. You got Mike Conley now to go along with Donovan Mitchell, but it's going to open up so many.
Boom.
Yeah, it's going to open up so many things in this offense. So I see Quinn Snyder getting it. Utah becoming a three seed.
Vic, slinging it back to you. Sixth man of the year. Who you got?
I got Montrezl Harrell doing it this year, edging out his teammate who's been sixth man of the year three times, Lou Williams. Harrell's just like sort of adds something that's really different to this team. And I was texting Jack about it last night. When they go with a lineup that, and I think I'm going to end up including Lou Williams in this lineup, but it was, what did I say? He said their version of a death lineup, Lou Williams, Landry Shamet, Mo Harkless, Kawhi, and Montrezl Harrell. And the key there is Harrell being playing the five. And I think that is really adding a crazy dimension to a team that most can't really offer. It's sort of like your Draymond Green kind of conversation. I'm giving him too much credit, but Julius Randle also can sort of do that. So for me, Montrezl Harrell.
I agree. I think it's Montrezl Harrell. I think it's tough to give it to Lou Will again unless he, really does things that put him in a different stratosphere. I think Montrezl Harrell, offensive, defensively, he gets the job done. Death lineup. What's crazy is that in, a couple weeks, it's going to be Paul George instead of Mo Harkless, and that team could defend and play with any team.
Any team in any era.
Yeah. Ever.
Unbelievable. I'm going to go with Montrezl Harrell as well, but it's either going to be Montrezl Harrell or Lou Williams, and I'm not saying that they shouldn't win it, but when you intentionally put starters in your sixth man role, it sort of gives you a real competitive advantage to win.
They're the bench
sixth
mob.
Man. They're not. These are not bench players.
No,
by these no are means. Starters on every single team in the NBA. Right.
Honorable mention: Fred VanVleet.
Yeah,
if they slide him back,
I was going to say if he's on the bench.
I think they're going to have to. You can't go that small the entire year. But yeah.
What does this say? What's the last one? It's DE,
Defensive Player of the Year.
Oh, thank you, Defensive Player of the Year, Jack.
I'm kind of regretting this. Like I had my own little bracket and awards, but I have Draymond Green. I can't see the Warriors just rolling over and dying and sucking shit for the whole year. So I think if they're going to be somewhat decent, it's going to be a lot on the anchor of that team, the heart and soul. And I think Draymond Green, He's not going to kill you with that shot, but he makes good decisions on the offensive end pretty much, and he's just a really good defensive player.
I'm going to go with the number one barker and trash talker in the NBA right now. That's Pat Beverly. Just in that Lakers game the other night, you just saw him. He got like rebounds over LeBron James. He's like going up for jump balls with Anthony Davis. Guy just really gives it 100% in every sense of the word. You just watch him lock somebody up. It's beyond impressive what he can do on defense.
I'm going to go with Anthony Davis. I think, Jack, for similar reasons why you picked him to potentially win MVP is why I have him a defensive player of the year. If he's playing defense, they're going to win a lot of games. He's going to swallow up offensive boards, defensive boards, blocks. I like Anthony Davis.
Swallow.
Last, what did I say? Did I say
swallow? No, you did.
Oh, I did. Swallow. Oh, you just repeated it. Swallow. Last, rookie of the year.
Ooh.
I'll snag this one. I'm going with RJ Barrett. What I've seen through the first three games, tiny sample size, but the most points through three games out of any rookie. I think I read that statistic somewhere.
Really? Out of any rookie this year?
No, out of any rookie.
Like
he has
ever?
Yeah, he has. It's or sorry.
They're like 19, 27, and 13.
He's had over 20 each game, I thought. Am I wrong?
No, I think he had over 21 game.
Are you sure?
We
fact check. I'm going with RJ Barrett. Yeah. I think that he's the best player on the Knicks, which is pretty crazy. I like him, and especially with Zion being injured,
yeah,
it makes it a little bit easier.
So I think it leaves RJ. I think it leaves the award wide open.
He had 16 against the Nets the other night.
But what else? 16?
21, 26.
Oh, nice. I love RJ.
Those are very good.
I agree. But just so this isn't consumed by Knicks talk,
sure,
I'm going to throw one out there. Rui Hachimura for the Wizards.
My boy.
Usually rookie of the year. I know I'm bringing up like historically how they, but it doesn't matter where the fucking team ends up.
No, it doesn't.
It's a rookie. It's whoever plays well. This guy does it. He reminds me of Draymond with a better shot. Probably not as good of a passer, but he's a really good defender and shoots the ball well. Strong. He was from like Gonzaga. Bull. Strong like Bull. Japanese. He's Japanese, this kid.
I know.
I don't even think he speaks English.
Is he the only Japanese basketball
player?
Yeah,
I think he is, yeah.
Because it's always Chinese. Always.
Yeah.
You never
I mean, and American and Canadian, but yeah.
No, but I'm saying.
Yeah, I get what you're
saying. He was the first one to get drafted. Yeah. Made a whole big thing this summer.
Oh, and, well, it was.
Yes.
So I think with the Wizards in disarray, it's going to open up a lot of minutes for this guy. So I think with minutes comes success and numbers.
Yeah.
Hachimura.
Yeah, I hate to keep this so plain vanilla because we just did for the last one. I think it's Barrett also. Just, you know, the think of the context and all this, you know, it's basically an identity crisis that's going on with the Knicks. They don't know who they are. You've been trying to rebuild, and that opens it up for the youngest guy on the court with the most talent. I mean, let's put it that way. And I just think
call a spade a spade,
right, and let's do it.
Big. He loves that. He's much bigger than I thought.
It's one of my
watching him. He is big.
He's big.
I agree. I thought like when I was hearing about him last year, I'm like, this is a guard who can't really handle the ball. He's a big small forward.
He's big.
Yeah, he's defending threes, fours, and guards. He's really good.
And if he plays the one the whole year, which it looks like,
wait, Barrett?
Fizdale's having him at the one.
I hope
it's
not.
It's pretty mixed. No, but it's good for his handles.
But it's because nobody could play the one. It's Elfrid Payton. He's not going to. It's so much better with him not at
Payton's
the one.
He's looked pretty good too.
Yeah, Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about them like they are.
And championship.
Like they are.
Should we just pick a champion and?
Fine. Let's close with the champion.
1, 2, 3, Clippers. All right.
I didn't feel a need to say
college
please,
football. Huh?
Please, college football. Week 9. Ohio State smacked Wisconsin. Did anybody here pick Wisco? I know I picked Ohio State.
I think Vic and I picked Wisco.
Yeah. It's just nice this pick. This Ohio State
it's
team
scary.
That I have been saying deserves one in the nation. I have been saying that. They're really, really good.
What
top
are they
to
now?
Bottom. Probably two.
They should be, but the bias for Bama and Clemson will always continue.
Unless they got swapped.
Clemson's
yeah.
Who's one right now?
LSU.
Oh. What?
LSU is one.
Wow. After just squeaking by, that wasn't like a dominating
win.
But
it was convincing. I mean, they got it done. Joe Burrow.
I mean, because Auburn's so tough.
Yeah.
We'll get to the LSU game, but who from that Ohio State-Wisconsin game was most impressive to you? It could be a side. It could be a defense. It could be an offense. Or individual person, but who is most impressive in that game?
I mean, it's tough not to focus on the fact that Jonathan Taylor wasn't able to do any of the amazing things we've been praising him about all season long. He didn't get in the end zone, right? The touchdown was a passing touchdown, the only score of the day. At one point, he had literally 10 rushes for 19 yards. He eventually got it up a little bit, but you weren't seeing like those.
He finished with 20 for 52.
Okay, This so there you go.
State defense.
Talk about stopping the run.
So a guy who's had success doing it all year on the ground, now, you know, couldn't find one seam.
Yeah, that Ohio State defense was stout. I think it's the running back for Ohio State.
You stole the words right out of my mouth.
J.K. Dobbins, he does not get a lot of love, especially because he's got Justin Fields, who's awesome. But this team doesn't only do it through the air. They're only 167 passing yards. But this guy, not getting that many carries either, 20 for 163. I mean, he's a bull. And super impressive. And on the same note as not a lot of passing, just the general Ohio State rushing. They're going to run on you 50 times. I mean, that's...
And that was Wisconsin's best just pound. Thing. Wisconsin's run D was awesome. And Dobbins just destroyed them.
They all did.
And nobody's talking about him. Dobbins threw 9 games, 1,200 yards on the ground, and 9 touchdowns.
Yep.
Like in a different year, that's Heisman worthy. Yep. It's over a touchdown a game. Fields doesn't even need to do that much because the Ohio State D is so elite. Running game's elite, passing, everything. I'm just very, very impressed by them. Moving on, LSU truly survives a pretty scary Auburn game at LSU. Who was most impressive to you in that game?
I mean,
you can pick a loser too.
No, I mean, like, I was impressed.
I love them.
I was impressed by Auburn as a whole. Just, you know, they always play teams so incredibly tough on the road. And I've talked about this. They're one of the most dangerous teams in a road game, or at least in a neutral site game. Gus Malzahn really has the experience there. And there are a couple points they really could have taken advantage of and could have came away with a huge upset. Just a couple things didn't go their way. LSU buckled down towards the end, and they got the win, and they got out of there. And that's what it's about, survive in advance.
Speaking of a huge upset, not to jump too much, but fucking Oklahoma. Jesus Christ. Losing in Kansas State.
Such a heartbreak. The end of that game.
Is
Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts' chances, are Jalen Hurts' chances of winning the Heisman done?
I think it's conditioned on how, I mean, right now it's Joe Burrow's award to lose. If LSU continues to roll, and I think they're allowed even to drop one, but I don't think Oklahoma has a tough enough schedule to rebound from a loss to Kansas State. Yeah, it came down to the wire on that onside kick, which was a crazy review. But in my eyes, I got Jalen Hurts even behind Justin Fields.
I mean, he still had almost 400 passing yards on 19 of 26 passing, no picks, and then 96 yards on the ground and 3 touchdowns.
You got to get the W.
I understand that, but the stats are there. It's not as if his performance has now suffered because of that. You know, Tua at least
score in the third quarter. They had 7 points in the second.
Sure, but you could put that on anybody. And there was a
no. Joe Burrow doesn't do that. Joe wouldn't do that.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see. What I'm saying is that his actual performance, which is really what the award is about, unfortunately, it takes into account all these other things, like the sitting with Coach of the Year as well, and sort of MVP we were just talking about.
It's changed
about.
More into like right. an MVP, and most valuable sort of, to a team right. that's really
it's,
successful.
It's like this expanded portfolio that really shouldn't be, but that's just how it is. So if it would be because of the record. I'm not taking anything away from him. There's no reason why you should have left that game saying he's not the guy we thought he was.
I mean, I totally agree. I just want to quickly touch on before we move on. Honorable mention to Michigan. They did what we did not think that they could do. They did what they historically under Harbaugh have not been able to do. They beat a ranked team. This line movement, I don't know if you guys saw this. This line movement went from Michigan minus four, all the way to Notre Dame -2 right before kick. A 6-point swing, which means that every sharp in the world was on Notre Dame, and Michigan just fucking blew the doors off them. How much more is this on Michigan being great, or does Notre Dame just stink?
I mean, they were due, and it's when we were picking the games last week, it's the reason why I was first like, I'm going to finally do. I was literally saying, I can't believe I'm going to do this.
You did it.
But I felt like they were due. And then, of course, I talked myself out of it because I just thought, well, if I do this again, I'm going to get burned. But what happened is you know, they really were due for this kind of game. And if you really watch, I know the Penn
Michigan.
State one.
You're saying Michigan.
Right. Okay. And I know the Penn State game, the fact they lost by 7, it was really, you know, a late touchdown. It didn't really show that. You know, they lost to Wisconsin by 15. They still have some big games left on their schedule. It's crazy their two losses are in Wisconsin, in Penn State. If you're ever going to have two losses, that's sort of it. But they were due for this game. And the real big game that they have left, it's going to be Thanksgiving weekend. Again, you're going to have Ohio State rolling into Ann Arbor. But, you know, they needed this. They really needed it, especially for the program. I mean, it's just been embarrassing.
And you heard how Harbaugh was sending these letters to recruits and younger guys on the team, them and their families, that he's not leaving. There was this whole thing that he'd be leaving. You know, Michigan was on the down.
He said that. What did he say? It was garbage, or maybe he used a more vulgar term.
He said really weird. He's put it really weirdly, like only Harbaugh would do. But to your point about needing it for the program, reviving the program, saving the program, Michigan was certain they needed this. But I think it's more on Notre Dame. That loss to Georgia is not looking as good as it once did. And I mean, they just got smacked yesterday. Reminded me when, my Canes took care of business against Notre Dame, down in South Florida, but Ian Book 8 for 25 and 73 yards. This isn't a college football playoff team when your quarterback goes out there, throws for one tutty, 73 yards.
And now they move back from 8 to 16.
So it was kind of, people saw it coming. I guess the committee was like, they're really not that good. They needed this to kind of bolster that resume, and, they didn't get it done.
Let's go with one team that should be, just highlight one, either higher or lower, up to you. I'm going to start. I think that Michigan should not be nearly as high as they are. I get that that was a good win. I think that 14 is, they should not be ahead of Wisconsin. I get it. They lost to Illinois, but Michigan got blown out by Wisconsin, and I just don't think that they're that good. I think that I'm happy that they won a home game against Notre Dame, who has not looked that good this year. Like, if you look at their wins, they should have lost to – what was that road game that Michigan had that they almost
Army.
Lost last week?
Oh,
well, no, they had a – that was a home game.
About 2 weeks ago, the Illinois game?
2 weeks ago, I get it. They won by 17, but they made it scary with Illinois. They couldn't score anything on Iowa. Iowa's a good defense, certainly, but I just I don't know. I don't think that this team is deserving of a top 20, and they currently are.
Top 20, wow.
I don't right now. 6-2 is not –
No, I agree.
And having trouble at home.
It is weird that Michigan is where they at 14, Notre Dame at 16, and then Wisconsin's behind both of them. I mean, Wisconsin beat the shit out of Michigan. It's almost like the transitive property. They should be ahead.
100%.
Even though I guess it's current. You know, it's like, what are you doing at the moment? Don't look now. I like this Utah team. Only one loss. They're at 9. They started the season off. Everyone was so high on that defense. Their only loss of the year, Vic, was in USC. I think that was more of a fluke than them being bad. But don't look now at the Pac-12. I mean, they got two teams in the top 10. I know.
Pac-12 is fucking awesome.
But now they got two top 10 teams.
Yeah, Pac-12 is fucking awesome. Vic, who you got? Up or down?
Up or down? I would just, as much as I love Auburn, I don't really see why they're ahead of a couple of undefeated teams. I just don't really think I think, yes, there are two losses on the road in Florida and in LSU. Those are about as too good a loss as you can. And there's a lot of teams sort of in this. Not a lot of teams. There are a few. There's a lot of two-loss teams in here, and a lot of two-loss teams ahead of either one loss or undefeated. And I just think that the Auburn, they're I don't know how the committee really does this, but they're giving just so much respect to a loss in Florida and a loss in LSU. I don't really see why they're 11. I'd knock them down to 13, 14. You know, I'd still have Auburn ahead of Michigan because I think those losses are a bit more like praiseworthy, even though, you know, as much as a loss.
Understandable.
Did you just say something against the Auburn Tigers?
Yeah, which is shocking.
I just said I don't know why they have – I don't know why they're giving them so much respect.
Because you are.
By the way, you've got, they
you're
hear
part
me.
Of the committee.
They hear me.
Also, their schedule has been so fucking tough, but I hear you.
Yeah,
right.
I agree with you. If the college – and I want to make this quick – rapid fire. Yeah. Don't even think. Just the first four that come to your mind, let's go with. If the college football playoff started today, and it's tough because we got a lot of undefeated teams. If it started today.
Started today or our predictions?
No. Started today. Oh, fine.
Let's do predictions.
Okay, fine. Predictions.
It's like week 10.
Great. College football playoff predictions. Four teams. Who wants to go first?
Me. I want this.
Go.
I want all of
it. Snag it. Steal it.
I like LSU at the 1. Ohio State at the 2. Bama at the 3. And then I got Oregon sliding in at the 4. I think the Pac-12 right now gets a team in, and I think they're going to have to go through Utah to get there.
I will say that it's going to be Alabama somehow at 4. I'm going to go in reverse
order. I love that you're going in reverse.
I think it's somehow going to happen that they will lose to either LSU or Auburn, and then somehow still get in the way that they did
classic 2 years
two
ago.
Years ago. You'll have three, I believe, will be the Ohio State Buckeyes. Two would be Clemson. And then I have LSU at one. You know, I just, yeah, I guess that means I have Alabama losing to LSU. So that would be sort of my four right now.
Oof, tough. I'm going to go Alabama at one because I think that they beat LSU in that game, and that's the one that flips it. Yep. I have LSU at two. I have Ohio State at three. Actually, I'm sorry. Alabama at one, Ohio State at two, LSU at three, and Penn State at four. I think it's really hard to win there, and if Michigan is even decently good, maybe we saw – the best version of Michigan at the end of that Penn State game when they had a backdoor touchdown and it made that game look closer than it was. Penn State is undefeated, and if they run the table, they have a chance to get it.
Do you think, to your point, so that's two SEC, two ACC, two Big Ten. Do you think Clemson loses to the winner of the Coastal, or do you think that Clemson just gets overlooked? Because I don't see them losing the rest of the way.
No, I just don't think that they are that good. And like,
well, would you have a one loss?
You're right. It's tough.
Would you have a one loss Penn State team over an undefeated Clemson team? And I think the answer is just no.
Yeah, I agree.
No, it's not. I wouldn't.
You wouldn't.
I left them out.
I don't know how
Penn
State and Ohio State are. I'm not saying it can't happen, but Penn State and Ohio State are playing each other the next 2 weekends from now. So someone's got to lose.
That's tough. Where's that game?
That is in Ohio State. Oh, yeah. I think Ohio State's got a lot of good home games.
If it's in Ohio State and they lose a close one, they have a chance. But to your point, that's tough. I sort of just picked the best four in my opinion. If not, then I'm going to go with a Pac-12 team. And it's before I go Clemson. I just think that we haven't seen what any of us expected to see. The Trevor Lawrence hype is dying.
It's so easy for Clemson, by the way. The road is literally paved. You just have to win games against these decent teams. Because it hurts me to say, but the ACC stinks.
But the problem with that is that you need to blow these teams out. You can't.
Yeah, that's true. But
you can't beat North Carolina.
At the end of the day, when you're looking at a team and they're 13-0, you're not going to be
There could be a lot of teams 13-0. That's what's so crazy. Undefeated teams.
SMU.
There could be like five.
Which is unbelievable. Have there been
Minnesota's still undefeated? Baylor's still undefeated.
But then they're going to have to beat a team that's currently undefeated.
Right. Someone's going.
Honorable
to
mention to Minnesota. They're fucking kicking ass.
Yeah, they are. PJ Fleck, row the boat.
They are really, really kicking ass. All right, let's move on to Spread Pick'em this upcoming weekend, Week 10. First game is Virginia Tech at Notre Dame. Notre Dame is a 16.5-point favorite at home. Vic, who you got?
I'm going with Virginia Tech. Look, I understand Notre Dame will be pissed off as hell, leaving Ann Arbor, but I think Virginia Tech has faced some tough teams.
Oh, please.
I think they've had
those Canes.
You morons.
Some good tests that they've survived. 5-2 should be a little respected there. I think they'll be playing a little bit of chip on their shoulder. They're still out of the top 25 looking to get in. I say they keep it close. We're looking like a 6-point game here.
I think it's going to be double digits, but I think Virginia Tech covers.
I think Virginia Tech covers too. That's more a knock on. I think that Notre Dame just kind of stinks. And I think that Virginia Tech has nothing to lose. 16.5 points is just.
It's a lot. It's a team that where their quarterback just threw for 73 yards.
It's a lot of points. Georgia, this is probably the game of the week. Georgia at Florida. Georgia's a 3-point favorite.
This is the only time you'll see me
do
the chomp.
Not Georgia at Florida. This
it's
neutral
site.
Neutral zone. Yeah,
Vic said Jacksonville, Duval County. I like Florida. That defense, I'm not high on Fromm. I like Trask. I think he's serviceable. I like Florida. I like Florida. Florida ML.
I like Georgia. I think that if they lose this game, they're just Georgia. I can't like. It's the same way that some people feel about Clemson. Like, it's just Clemson, but Georgia is just supposed to be awesome. Their run game's supposed to be awesome. Fromm is supposed to be the best quarterback going into the draft. The defense is supposed to be unbelievable. Neutral site, I don't know. Florida always has such a big advantage at home. It's not a home game for them. I like Georgia with the field goal.
Yeah, this is a tough one because both teams just had a week off to sort of relax, get things right. This is one of the biggest rivalry games for these schools, known as the biggest outdoor cocktail party
Cockies.
Of the year. tons of suits and weird things will be going on in Jacksonville. You know, Georgia's flying so under the radar right now, and even though they're number eight, I just sort of see them getting it right for this one. I really love what I've seen out of Florida, but Georgia minus three, I think they get it done. You know, I just, if Florida's played some close games, I think this is one of those that they're going to lose.
Let's go.
Oh, I was looking at you. Oh, no. You already picked Florida. I forgot. Moving on. Utah at Washington. Utah is a 2.5-point favorite. Wow, this is a crazy game.
I think this is the toughest game to call of the week of the weekend. Like, to me, I liked Florida, but
it's so hard.
These teams are really tough, and Washington is just a super tough place to play. Program-wise, they've got talent. Eason's good.
2.5 is the same spread that was just on the Oregon at Washington game last week, where Oregon came back and won by 4. I think it's a very similar game. I think it's back and forth. Washington will be winning at points in this game, but I think that ultimately the better team does win by at least a field goal. So I take Utah.
I agree. I like Utah. They're clicking at the right time. And I think just the Pac-12 is going to become this two-man race between Utah and Oregon as we come down to the wire. And I like them taking care of business, although the matchup predictor on ESPN actually has the Huskies taking this game.
Home dog.
Fuck you, ESPN.
Home dog. Yeah, this is a clean Utah sweep here. I just haven't plain and simple, Washington just hasn't showed it. I know they played Oregon tough at home, but they didn't shut the door when they had the chance early on in the game. You know, the Huskies, I mean, more credit to Oregon because they really are, you know, one of the better teams in the country right now. But I haven't seen it. I don't even think the home field advantage is going to make sense. I will say the Utes do have something to prove. Their one loss has come on the road. The two Utes. I'm sorry, youths, Your Honor. You know, they did. Washington just hasn't showed it. That's plain and simple for me. Utah takes us.
Last game of the week, very interesting.
We love the Pac-12.
We do. Number 7, Oregon at USC. Funny that they're unranked. I feel like they've had a couple of good wins. I could have moved them up. At USC, 8:00 game. Oregon's a 6-point favorite at USC. I'm going to steal this one quickly because I've been known for loving Oregon. And I do love Oregon, but I think that USC is primed for an upset in this position. I'm going to take the points, but what I saw out of USC this past week, they really, really did not take Colorado seriously at all. They went in there, they're like, all right, this team sucks. We're going to beat up on them. And Colorado was handing it to them the whole time. They were up that whole game. But when you come back like that and you win a game like that, it just shows that you're a good team. You're a good team that underestimated your opponent. They are not going to underestimate Oregon. They are going to be fucking hyped. And what did USC – who did USC beat at home? The Utes.
This past week?
The Utes. No, they
have
that.
Earlier in the year.
They beat Utah. They beat Utah. So I think that 6 points is enough for me. I'm going to take USC plus 6.
I think having a resume of beating Utah and Oregon would be insane, and that would make USC a really good team. I don't think they're a really good team. I think they're young. But Oregon looks at this game as it's on Fox. It's primetime, 8:00, Saturday night in L.A., whatever, Pasadena. And I think best player on the field, Justin Herbert, is going to get the job done. His name has to be elevated into this Heisman discussion at some point, and I think he makes a case this weekend. I like Oregon minus 6.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. This is just sort of a warm-up game, I think, for them, just to sort of see what it's going to feel like if they're playing in the Rose Bowl later on down the road. They will show you why they are the number 7 team in the country. This is the highest they have been ranked all season long, I believe. And, you know, a lot of teams have been falling out. This is sort of when you got to win on the road. I think they get it done. I don't think USC really has it. If anything, the Colorado game showed me last week, they aren't the team we thought that they were. And USC squeaks off 14 points in the fourth quarter to come back. I see them getting another sluggish start here, Oregon coast the whole way.
Quick tailgate update. Before we wrap our show, it's going to be December 8th, Jets-Dolphins. We're going to have some Jets fans out there. And we're going to have some people out there that are rooting for the Dolphins to win their first game, because I'm predicting that they're going
to win?
Winless, up until that point.
You might have a Dolphins jersey on.
I might have a Dolphins jersey on. I might.
Are you going to pick up some random people at the Dolphins bar here?
We should go grab
two
a couple
lucky
of them,
fans.
Bring them down. Yeah. But so we haven't opened this up yet, but really just stay tuned. There's going to be limited spots available. This is a private tailgate.
First come, first serve.
Really, first come, first serve. Everything is free, from liquor to caviar to games to Jack's giving out free hugs.
I don't give her. I'll give out a couple.
But when I need to stress how limited spots are, so just stay tuned. Keep up with us in the Schwitzer's Facebook group,
the IG,
on Instagram at the Schwitz. Super important. Just stay tuned for updates.
You know what we should do? Updates are coming soon. We like maybe we'll start this in the next episode as we lead up to it, but maybe like trivia questions or some shit, and you get it right plus one.
I like that. Cornhole. You know what we could also do? We could get a whole pool in and start announcing people one by one that are invited to the tailgate.
Oh, I love that.
At the end of the podcast.
I love
that. You fucking like that?
Yeah.
Fucking like that, Vic?
I like that.
Slide into our DMs and get yourself heard. I mean.
Seriously.
Yeah.
If you ask, if you're like, hey, I really want to come. Like,
yeah. And if you're funny and send us some good content,
you could probably come. I'm schwitzing my balls off. This is actually the hottest that the studio's ever been.
My crotch is
so fucked. We got to get the fuck out of here. But as always, I'm Ben at Boy With No Job.
I'm Jack at Jack Not John.
And I'm Vic at V Web.
Have a great week.